This is the What I Live For podcast for Thursday, April 2nd, 2020. Welcome back to another episode of the What I Live For podcast, and today I'm talking to my friend Danny. I didn't know much about Danny before actually recording this podcast. He came recommended to me through previous guest Caitlin. She told me that I really need to talk to Danny, and I immediately reached out to him after she told me to, and I really started like really digging what the dude was all about. He's on a weight loss journey as well. And the thing I did not know about him, and he actually says it in the episode and on his profile, that he's been sober for just over a year now. As I recorded this, this was back in February when I recorded this, but, late March, early February, but, the guy's been sober for a year, and when you listen to the episode and you go back and listen to what, what his past was, you understand why he's doing the things he's doing now. His weight loss is he's killing with his weight loss. He's lost over 50 pounds now. And, like I said, he's been sober for over a year, just over a year now. Well, at the point of you were listening to this, it's been way over a year, but, it was really interesting to hear his background and, listen to how he was very involved in the punk scene and music and things like that, and how that life led him into having to give up alcohol eventually because it became a problem for him. This episode is really I really enjoyed talking to Danny, and I hope you guys enjoy it. But definitely send him a DM and tell him I sent you, and give him a follow, and like I said, you can follow him on Instagram at Danny_Punks_Life. I'll have all his information in the description. He also has a podcast with the same name, Danny Punks Life. Danny Punks Podcast. He's got it on YouTube, so I'll put a link to that also in the show notes. But definitely give him a follow, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. How's your Friday going?
Going, man, it's going. Can't complain. So, works for me.
yeah. It's been one of those like long Fridays where I'm like, man, I'm glad it's the weekend. I'm glad that work week is over. So, that it's good.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
So, what have you been up to today?
Not much, dude. Just hanging out the house. Wait for the wife to get home, and then hit the gym for a little bit, do family time, plan for tomorrow. Pretty much it, man.
What's your gym routine like? I'm kind of just kind of like starting the conversation, but I just kind of wanted to know what you plan to do today with the gym today.
I'm probably gonna lift some weights, work on some arms, mm-hmm. shoulders, and then I probably hit the pool right after.
Oh, that's cool.
You know. Every Friday, I like to hit the pool.
I wish my gym had a pool, but it doesn't, because like it's like in the middle of a shopping center, so like they don't have the room for a pool. But I really wish, because there's only one gym around here that has a pool, and I wish that our gym had one. But it's all right; it's cool.
Yeah, it's well, the gym I go to, it's not the nicest gym, but it has a pool, so it's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I ain't no LA Fitness or anything like that. But. It does its job, and it, you know, it is what it is. You know? It has water, so that's cool.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So I got introduced to you through previous podcast guest Caitlin. She was like, I was like, who do I need to talk to next? And she's like, your name was the first name that came up.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, she's a cool chick, man. She's cool.
Yeah. She's very cool. I just like meeting her and like just having like back and forth conversations with her, and then like Kayla, and then I'm finding this whole other corner of like the weight loss community that I just really am not really a part of. And it's been very cool to like meet other people that's kind of outside of the circle that I usually run with. So it's been nice to just to meet new people like yourself, and I've had a few other interactions with some other people too, but like it's been nice to kind of go outside of that scope of like my comfort zone with the people I usually talk to. So it's been nice to talk to different people.
Hell yeah, man. It's always good to break the ice and explore, yeah. You know? You know, same here, man. You know, I've met so many people who are just completely not in my, you know, bubble or circle. And, you know, it's always nice to meet somebody different because you never know who life's going to impact. You're going to impact or someone's going to impact your life, you know?
That's true.
Because it's always good.
Go ahead.
No, all I'll say was it was always good to make those little changes and, you know, on people you talk to. Sometimes people will be too toxic. And you just got to kind of branch away, but, you know, you gotta give people a chance, you know?
Yeah. And it's been nice to, and that's kind of where this podcast came about was just talking to different people about, like, just not just weight loss, but, like, just their story in general. And it's been real interesting and nice to see just different people. And, like, everybody has kind of the same kind of origin story, but, like, it kind of deviates from there. But, like, it's been nice to just talk to different people about, like, where they came from and like, how did they get from point A to point B with their weight loss journey.
Yeah. You know, like I always say, you know, I just put my little motto. It's just, this is more of a lifestyle journey than just a weight loss journey. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk about my sobriety. I talk about, you know, obviously stuff that's happened in my past, what led up to what's happening now. You know, I try to motivate other people and talk about just real life. You know, I don't know if you heard any of my stories, but I get really dark into what I talk about. And a lot of people like it because I'm real.
Yeah.
And I don't really kind of hold back what I got to say.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and jump into it. So let's find out who Danny is. So where did Danny grow up? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Southern California. I grew up in a little town called San Jacinto. And, you know, I can go through the whole life story, but I'm going to start there, man. San Jacinto, California. Mm-hmm. Grew up single mom. You know, she raised us. Three boys on her own.
Oof, three boys.
Yeah, three boys. I'm pretty sure we were hell to deal with. I can guarantee we were hell to deal with. I come from a Native American background. Mm-hmm. So, I just always, you know, always had to do right by mom. I was always mom's little protector. So,
yeah,
what a warrior.
What's the age difference between you and your brothers? Like, it's three of y'all, right? It's three of y'all.
Well, my dad has two other kids, so there's a total of five of us.
Okay,
but there's three out of the boys.
And what's the age difference between the three of y'all?
My brother Chris, he is 2 years younger than me, and my brother Nick is 4 years younger than me.
Okay. So you're the oldest?
Yes, sir.
All right. So what was life for you growing up? Like you just said, your mom was a single parent, and was she like working all the time, or were y'all like with relatives or by yourselves, or what was
that? My mom. Well, being a single parent is always a struggle, mm-hmm. You know. And my as I was younger, you know, my dad walked out when I was nine.
Yeah.
I thought I should take responsibility and learn to grow up. So that being said, I took it a little too far. You know, I thought I was a man by the time I was 10. I was like, I got two hairs on my chest. I'm ready to roll, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we had help. You know, I had a lot of family, my aunts. You know, I had my aunts who helped out the most, my grandma. My mom didn't really, you know, leave us with too many friends or anything. It was mostly family who helped us around.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the ones you could depend on the most.
Well, as you being like the oldest son, like, did you feel like you had that responsibility to like be the man of the house since your dad wasn't a part of it?
Yeah. And I took it literally, man. I took it. man, I thought I was a little badass, you know,
well,
mom, you know,
you just felt like you had to assume a role though. So like, it's just, that just came with the territory.
Oh yeah, man. I was, you know, I don't know, man. I always, you know, mom's dates, you know, mom, you know, single moms tend to date, and, mm-hmm. you know, I always have to, you know, check her dates, and that was something I should have done, but, you know, I had to let them know, hey, it ain't going to be easy. going through me, you know, even though I was his little 10-year-old, 9-year-old kid.
But you were just protecting your mom because you just know that, like, you just didn't want her to be with some just random dude that, you know, didn't treat her right. So, like, you were the protector of the house.
Yeah, I was always a protector of the whole household, my brothers, too. And, you know, I just took on a big responsibility at a little age, which I didn't have to, but I just somehow chose to. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be the person I am today, you know?
That's true. And that's why I always ask that question about where'd you grow up and what your childhood was like, because that a lot of times when you ask that question, it leads into who you are as an adult, like where you came from is essentially where you came from leads into who you are as an adult.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So, so it was just you, your brothers, and then like your mom. And what was school like for you? Were you like the academic kid, or were you like the kid who did sports? Like which group did you kind of
towards? Like people I hang out with, or how I'm
like just in school and stuff like that. Like
school, man. In school, I was always I did what I can do to get by. You know, sometimes I learned how to, you know, not cheat, but I found little ways, little rabbit holes to get through school. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't dumb either. You know, I still, you know, if I needed to take it serious, I would take it serious. But, you know, I was a teenager, you know, any way to get past, you know?
Yeah.
You know, when I was younger, I always just enjoyed life. You know, with my friends and I, we skateboarded, we were in bands, we played punk music and heavy metal music, and we got in trouble. We didn't get in too much trouble though. Mm. You know, there's, you know, don't get me wrong, there was times where we should have been in very big trouble. But you know, mama doesn't know it don't hurt her.
That's true. Yeah, I can kind of gravitate with you, like, because I was the kid who was like the academic kid, but I was also like the kid who hung out with like the outcast people, like the people who didn't really fit in. And so like I was in that in-between world between the two.
Yeah, you know, I always went out of my way to talk to everybody. You know, I didn't really have one, oh, I hung out with, you know, the punk kids, or I hung out with you know the cholos, or hung out with, you know, I hung out with a little bit of everybody. You know, I didn't really hang out with a lot of jocks, but you know, I was friends with a lot of them. We all grew up together. You know, in San Jacinto, it's such a small town. You know, it's a little bigger now than it was 10 years ago, mm-hmm. but it's a really small town. You know, you can't even step into Walmart without running into 20 people you went to school with. You know,
yeah,
but it's cool. You know, just growing up in this little town, and you know, you have to get to know that. You got to get to know everybody. You know, not just one set of people.
And so that small town mentality, like if you did something, people would know about it. They're like, oh, Danny was involved with this. Like, so like most people would know about that. Cause I live in a small town now. It's smaller. And I know that like it, like word travels fast around here. And I, you know, like when I was growing up, I lived in like a bigger town. I lived in Memphis. So like, it was like, you would never run into the same people that you would go to school with. It would be like different people. But like in that small town, like mentality, like you're saying that like everybody ran in small circles. So like if something happened in the town, like somebody instantly knew about it.
Yeah, pretty much. it's crazy, man. There's times actually, here's funny. I don't know if you follow Zach Attacks Fat.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, well, me and him live in the same town.
Oh, really?
We go to the same gym.
Wow.
And we haven't really crossed. Actually, I've met him when he was heavier. Okay. And I didn't know that was him who lost the weight. And now that I know he lost the weight, now I really know who he is now. But you know, back in the day, I used to see him we weren't like friends. I guess we were just acquaintances. But mm-hmm. we've chatted a couple times, and we kind of think we knew not knew each other, but we know that how small this town is, and we're 100% sure we've crossed paths. Yeah. You know, but Yeah, like I tripped out when I first heard that Zach lived in San Jacinto because I was like, wow. Like, this guy's hanging out with Obese to Beast and hanging out with all these, you know, his dates, Jordan Shrinks. Mm-hmm. And how I found out he was from here was funny. Was actually from a Jordan Shrinks post. I seen her post a picture of, you know, the San Jacinto Mountains. And I was like, what the heck? What is she doing out in Canada? And, you know, turns to find out, I guess he's out here. So, small world.
That's cool. Yeah. It's interesting, like, when you, like, realize that there's somebody who lives in the same town as you. And you're like, you see this persona on Instagram and stuff like that. And then you realize, oh, they live, like, in the same town, or they live in a town, like, just over from me. And it's interesting just to see that.
You said you're from Texas, right?
Yeah, I'm just outside of Houston.
Houston. So do you watch Dallas Cowboys at all? You know who you watch them?
I'm not a sports fan. Like I know the Super, like, we're recording this like the Friday before the Super Bowl, and like I would probably watch the Super Bowl, but I'm not like super interested. I know like I have friends who are like 49ers fans, and I have friends who are like Chiefs fans. So I don't like have a like a team. Like if I did have a de facto team, it would be like the Texans, because it's like so close to where I live. But like for the most part, I'm not like a sports fan. But like if somebody has it on right now, I would watch it, because I would just follow it.
Yeah, with David Irving from the Cowboys. Well, he used to play for the Cowboys. He just retired at a young age. But we went to high school with him, my brother and I.
Man, that's crazy. That's like some real world stuff. Like, when you realize that somebody from your hometown is like a professional in like sports and stuff like that, or just like anything, like it's interesting to see like those type of like worlds collide, where you're like, that guy went to high school with me, and look at him now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you know, kind of like one of those small town things. Everybody knew who that guy was when he joined the Cowboys. It's like, wow. He played for the Chiefs for a little bit. I think the practice squad.
Yeah.
And they picked him up, the Cowboys, but he retired early due to, you know, little problems he had with the NFL, but just thought I'd, you know, throw that in there, you know, the whole small town thing. It's pretty crazy. It's not like I live in.
What's your team?
What team do I like?
Yeah, so I got to ask you that.
I'm a hardcore Minnesota Viking fan.
All right.
Yeah, and I'm not even from Minnesota. I just was always used to be a Vikings fan. But, you know, all the other sports I'd like, they're all SoCal.
But what is it about the Vikings that you like? You just like, that's my team?
Since I was little, my dad, he was always a Vikings fan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since I, long as I can remember, you know, I was always, you know, a Vikings fan.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Know, I remember watching Randy Moss and you know, Randall Cunningham, and, you know, the Carter brothers. And to me, that was the greatest era ever, the 90s.
I mean, when you think about, like, sports, like, I know we're going on a tangent now, but, like, when you think about sports, like, you when you think about the 90s, like, that was the big era of sports. Like, that everybody was watching it. Like, every professional, like sport. Everybody was watching some sport. Like, basketball was huge, and I know football was like super huge, like because the Cowboys winning, you know, Super Bowl back to back to back. Like, it was just interesting, like that era of sports in the 90s, because it was so huge.
Yeah, it was a lot different too. You know, I was just explaining to somebody, I'm like, man, I said, you ever watch old school footage of, you know, 90s or 80s football? Those guys were huge. Mm-hmm. And when I got these little tiny guys. You know, walk 20 running routes, taking down 300-pound people, guys. It's nuts, man. The sport has really evolved.
That's true. So let's get back to you. We went on a tangent there about sports, but so when did weight become a problem for you? Like, did you always have a problem with weight, or was it just something that gradually just kind of tacked on to you?
I've always been semi big, you know. I've always had it. I think it comes from kind of the Native American gene, because a lot of us are bigger people.
Yeah.
But, I really started noticing it towards the end of high school. But towards the end of high school, I started, you know, really drinking a lot of alcohol at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was living life, you know, I thought, you know, I could just have a couple beers here and there. You know, I was a little stupid teenager, but, you know, I think when I was about 16 years old, I got in a wreck in like an ATV accident, and I hurt my, I smashed my foot, and I got MRSA, actually. I was diagnosed with MRSA. It's a flesh-eating disease.
Oh, okay.
In my right foot, and I was, you know, kind of quarantined at home. I wasn't allowed to go to school. I wasn't allowed to really be out because of this staph infection. And I was inside the house for maybe like 6 months.
Wow.
And, you know, I couldn't really do anything. You know, I was just kind of walking around, and getting, that's how I was getting exercise in. And I started gaining weight probably at 16, you know, really started gaining the weight. And then, you know, as I got older, you know, just started making more money, could buy alcohol and eating fast food and drinking, and kind of just blew up, yeah. You know?
That's a really like strange time, like when you like turn 16 and like you get a job and you get a car for the first time, and you're like, I have all this freedom, I can do whatever I want, and you're like, I don't have to live under the limits or the rules of my parents. Like, I can just, if I want to eat something, I can just go get it. I don't have to, you know, be under their guidance of what should I eat.
Yeah, you know. And then me being the man of the house of all didn't make it easier.
Yeah, that's true. Because like, yeah. You were just like, well, I'm 16. I can do whatever I want. Like, I'm the man of the house. Like, I'm gonna go get like whatever I want. So what was your thing that you always got? Like, did you have a favorite, or you just went for whatever?
When we ate, being younger, or yeah, now?
When you were younger.
When I was younger, we grew up, you know, not. I don't say poor, but we grew up with very little. Mm-hmm. So we always had to make stuff. Like one of our favorite dishes we made was called goulash. And it was basically just a mix of, you know, noodles, cheese, some tomato sauce, and some ground beef.
Yeah.
And we ate that a lot of spaghetti. We ate a lot of bean and cheese, you know, top ramen, mm-hmm. bologna egg sandwiches. We kind of grew up like that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'll never forget growing up like that, because to this day I still love that stuff. But
that's true.
I'm on a weight loss journey, so I can't eat that stuff.
Yeah.
Alternate though.
And what did you start eating like when you like kind of had that freedom to eat whatever you want? Like, did you have like a preference?
It just a lot of Del Taco.
Okay.
You know, because I was working, man. I worked for Jack in the Box.
Okay.
And I worked nights. Usually when I got off, only Del Taco was open. So I'd always eat that Del Taco.
Yeah, that night shift, man. Like, I used to work that night shift like when I first started working it, and it was rough, because like you said, nothing was open. So you're like, what is the only thing open? And usually like around like where I grew up, it was like Taco Bell, and that's the only thing that was open. So you had to kind of just eat whatever.
Yeah, I had a lot of Del Taco, you know, in my early 20s, and, you know, I was with my girlfriend already, my wife, actually, now, but she, you know, you had to take her out, so we always went out and ate good, you know?
Yep, that new relationship, like, y'all got to go eat, like, it's like, where are we going to go eat?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, so weight started kind of packing on like when you were like 16, and you had this infection where you couldn't really move around and stuff like that. So like, did the weight like kind of pile on kind of quickly, like when you had that first infection?
I felt like I probably gained about like honestly within that, it was about almost a year. So I got hurt in February 2016. Mm-hmm. Not 16. Oh my God.
2006.
2000, actually, not in 2006, actually, it was 2007.
Okay.
2007, and I didn't get fully healed till about 2008.
Oof.
Yeah, and so I just started noticing you know, me getting heavier and, you know, obviously I was depressed, not even just because of the injury, because of, you know, other stuff, my parents or whatever. But, you know, I started, my partying became more crazier, you know. Just, you know, now I was experimenting, going to Hollywood and going to San Diego and trying to live this rock star life, you know. Now, being in bands and stuff.
So you, yeah, just, really, you were like fully into like the, into the rock star life. So like you, when did that start? Like after like 16, 17, something like that.
Well, I started, playing when I was about 11, playing guitar.
Oh, okay.
And then eventually, you know, I've met some people, when I was about 14 and, you know, started living that lifestyle for a little bit until I was 21.
That's how you were like fully into it from 11 to 21.
No, well, fully into it, I would say 14 to 21.
14 to
21. Yeah. Like super into it. Like I was, I lived, breathed that life. That was my, I thought, you know, I was going to be a rock star, and that was my dream. My brother, actually, he's a rock star now, but, you know, at least he gets to live that dream, and I get to enjoy watching him.
So you play guitar. What did your brother play? What did your brother play?
He plays drums.
Okay.
Yeah, he's in a band called Modern Racket, which, you know, they're making their way to the top, man. They're really good.
Yeah, that's good, man. So you just live the rock star life, and it just kind of stuff went kind of out of control. Like you just like,
it eventually, you know, sometimes all good things come to an end. You know, I had to grow up and be responsible, and, you know, I was in a serious relationship, and, you know, I couldn't really, you know, responsibilities kind of took its toll on me.
Yeah.
And the band that I was actually, you know, the band I was in, we ended up quitting, but eventually, I started roadieing for another band. And when I was roadieing for that band, that's when my drinking really became out of control. Like towards when I was around, you know, 18 to 20, mm-hmm. 21, because that's the one I was really traveling with. And, you know, I just thought, you know what, I got to live up to these guys' standards and drinking and drinking and drinking. I was just a roadie for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, that could be another story for another time, man, because that would take forever, my experiences with that band. But I've done a lot of cool things, and, you know, I got to live a kind of like a lifetime at a young age, which was pretty awesome.
I'm just like, I'm like in awe of just like, you started like playing music when you were 11, and like you just started like at 14, just really like living this lifestyle that like was like a rock star lifestyle until like the, what you said, to the age of 21.
Yeah.
And then you did some roadieing for, just like a band and stuff like that. And you said that's when the drinking like really became a problem.
Yeah. When I was about 18, because then I can go do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, at that age, officially, I was roading for a band. They were called In Silence at the time. They're no longer a band, no more. But we go all around. You know, Fresno, Hollywood, San Diego, all around. You know, Riverside County, Palm Springs. We've been everywhere in California, pretty much. And, you know, the way those guys partied, it was, you had to kind of a challenge with them. You know, you couldn't just sit there and have a couple of beers. No, you really had to get into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't blame them. You know, obviously it's my own decision what I did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it eventually took its toll. And actually, I think the whole entire band, because that band is no longer around, and they were actually really good. But my mentality at such a young age, it sounds really stupid, and I, you know, say this in some of my videos, is, you know, was live fast, die punk.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of, you know, live fast and enjoy it, and then, you know, if you die, you die, and that's kind of it, you know?
Well, I agree with your whole statement about live fast. Like, you, I think a lot of people don't live the life they want, and at least you were doing the stuff that you loved. you know, it there was nothing wrong with that. Like living the life that you wanted, but there, you know, there was some stuff that I'm sure you probably regret, like the drinking and stuff like that. But I think just in general, you were doing something that you were really passionate about.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, at least I can sit there and say, you know, at least I lived this style, you know, this lifestyle for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of did the opposite. You know, people want to live up, you know, their dream. You know, I wasn't trying to be famous. I was just having a good time. That's what I was about. That's what, you know, pretty much all of us were about.
Yeah.
You know, you had the
perfect mentality for it because you weren't trying to be a rock star or anything like that. You were just trying to live the life that you are passionate about. And you wanted to not go to the end of your life with like regrets of like not, you know, at least pursuing that passion. And exactly. I commend you for that because a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people like they get afraid to, you know, push past the comfort zones and they don't do that kind of stuff. And at least I commend you for doing that because a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people will say that I wanted to be a writer and they never write a page of anything.
Yeah. Nobody likes to take a walk on the wild side, yeah. You know,
that's true.
Which you know, I always kind of dipped my toes into, you know what? Why not? You know, nowadays, you know, I'm going to be 29 this, you know, in February. And now I look at things differently because now I'm married, you know, we don't have kids yet, but we're planning on having kids, mm-hmm. You know, and my drinking, you know, I'm actually a year sober, a year and 31 days, actually.
Congratulations.
And, you know, I thank you. Appreciate that. And, you know, that's one thing. That's why, you know, I started this Instagram was to keep my ass in check, you know, because
and,
I thought
and after, it definitely will keep you in check.
You know, I thought, oh, you know, oh, I'm the rock star life is kind of ending. I have to be responsible. But, you know, my drinking continued. You know, I still partied at home. I was like, I had my own house at the time. Well, I still do have my own house, but. The different house at the time that was a party house. Everybody's come over and, you know, play beer pong and all that stuff. And, you know, that was life I was living, you know, I lived life till the fullest and, you know, eventually I just got over it.
Yeah. So when did you, so you said a year ago, a month ago, you've been sober.
Yeah.
So when did you like, even with your weight, when did you realize that, the weight was a problem and then like the drinking was a problem?
I noticed the weight was a problem over probably around, well, obviously, you know, it was always fluctuating throughout the years. Mm-hmm. But then when I hit my highest, it was probably in 2017 and I didn't even know how much I weighed. You know, that's a picture I always post with my side by sides.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even tell you how much I weighed there, but I was having a hard time going places, obviously, you know, fitting in things and, mm-hmm. Always had to take breaks while walking, you know, yeah. I couldn't even walk at the mall, man, without even taking little breaks because I was out of breath. And, you know, that was, you know, the whole weight thing. And then the drinking thing was, you know, I was drinking about a bottle of Jack Daniels a night. Oof. Yeah. And then that's beer crazy. On top of that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And that was a secret that I kept that, you know, everyone knew I drank, but no one knew I drank like that.
Yeah.
And I always thought, oh, he's this fun party guy. And I was like, you know, actually, I'm this deep, depressed guy who thinks he's having a good time, you know?
Mm-hmm. When did depression become a problem for you? Like, was it always there? Was the depression like a reaction to the drinking, or was it the opposite? Like, was it just you started drinking because you were depressed, or were you depressed because of something else?
I've always, you know, I always kind of had depression ever since I was younger. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad wasn't really the he was kind of more of the abusive type.
Yeah.
You know, verbally, physically, he didn't really, you know, physically abuse us, my brothers and I. Mm-hmm. But there's times he has put his hands on us where he shouldn't, like the way he did it, he shouldn't have done it, you know?
That's true.
Usually with a closed fist, you know? But, you know, I've always had that, you know, obviously, you know, my mom you know, her struggles being a single parent. You know, I always thought I had to put that weight on in me. And, you know, I've always kind of had that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's something I still suffer with today, but, you know, I've learned to manage it because, you know, me helping other people, it kind of balances it out, you know?
Yeah.
But the drinking, I thought when I was younger, maybe I was just having a good time. And then eventually I started finding, you know, drinking alone, mm-hmm. you know, drinking alone. And, you know, it just started getting more darker and darker in my mind. It's like, you know, maybe I'm in like a deep depression, you know, anger. I had anger issues, you know, the whole shebang.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, it took its toll and, you know, I had to either change or. If I didn't change, I would probably end up dead, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Either because of my own, you know, health or because of, you know, some type of self-destruction, you know? Mm-hmm. And that just being, you know, 100% real on it.
And is that when you decided to just stop with the drinking, or did you, like, seek out therapy or anything like that?
Yeah, honestly, you know, seeked out therapy, mm-hmm. but I watched a movie and it really opened my eyes. And I was like, you know what? Wow. You know, because this is exactly what I saw was me, you know,
yeah.
was a movie called A Star Is Born with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, you know, there's so much scenes where it's like, I can relate to that, you know? And there's a specific scene. I don't know if you've seen the movie.
Yeah, I've seen it.
But there's a specific scene where he's debating, you know, kind of if he's going to take his life or not. And this his face expression. And it's like, man, I've seen that face expression in the mirror. Mm-hmm. I've seen that. And, you know, we all know what happened at the end of that movie. But, mm-hmm. you know, I made the other decision and to change my life and to continue to better it, you know, for myself and for my wife and, you know, for my family.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty crazy, you know, thinking back at it.
Yeah. It's crazy that a movie like got you, like it really got to you. Like just this one scene in a movie really got to you and it made you realize that, hey, what I'm doing is not working and I need to change it.
Exactly. And even there was a song, and it was right before I saw that movie. It's by a band called NOFX. The song's called I Don't Like Me Anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was basically him pointing out all the stuff he doesn't like about himself no more. And I'm like, you know, that's exactly how I feel. You know, people, you know, where are my friends? You know, where's everybody I used to hang out with? You know, I lost them all because I was being a dick, you know?
Yeah.
But... you know, they're slowly coming back.
Yeah. Did you like, so when you decided to finally like, you know, kick the alcohol habit and stuff like that, did you have like support from friends and family, or did kind of people kind of shy away from you because of it? Or did you have any of those issues?
I had a mix of, you know, reaction. Mm-hmm. I had some friends who did. You know, I don't know if they shied away because of it, or maybe because they don't want to drink and stuff around me.
Yeah.
But I don't really get to see a lot of them no more. A lot of my family, it came to a shock, especially my mom. You know, I covered it up, you know, a lot with her. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, with some, a lot of my family members, they knew. You know, they seen the videos of me doing stupid drunken stuff, or they knew about the parties, and it's crazy because, you know, we live in a life of social media and, you know, on Facebook, they have this thing called memories. So, you know, mm-hmm. we'll see your memory. And I click on those and, man, it's it's crazy because, you know, every other post I had was something about partying or drinking or, you know, something saying some type of nonsense. And I can't believe that was even me, honestly.
But at least you have those memories where you can go back and look at it, like. Because I know they pop up like every year, like around the same time. So like, you'll go back and look at them every year, and you can be like, "That's who I was, and that's not who I am anymore."
Exactly.
So when did you decide to kind of kick off this weight loss journey, did you wait until after you were kind of into sobriety, or did you start before that?
That's funny. Well, I'm just like everybody else. I've tried weight loss 100 times, yeah. You know, but, back in 2018, I tried to quit drinking. I went 5 months sober. Mm-hmm. And then I got married, and then I started drinking after I got married, which is kind of funny, but you know, it just happened. It's just, you know, you get married and people hand you drinks and, you know, I started drinking again after my wedding.
Yeah.
And I really started talking to, you know, I need to start losing weight because on my honeymoon, we were trying to walk around Vegas and I kept running out of breath and I was tired and didn't really, I don't know, I just felt lazy. I felt like a slug, you know? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't feel like that on your honeymoon. You know, you should feel energetic and, you know, I just felt, I don't know, I felt like a big POS on my honeymoon, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, you know, I kept talking about it and, you know, trying to figure it out. And people kept sending me stuff on, I didn't have Instagram yet, but people started sending me stuff on Facebook of That Big Guy 700.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I already watched Open the Beast. That was like something I always watched because, you know, I think that guy's amazing, but you know, this Big Guy 700, he really, that's like, oh man, he's doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. And this guy kind of gave me hope, like, you know what, I can do it. And so I started, you know, doing little things here and there, but you know, I didn't want to stop drinking. Like, my mentality was like, you know what, I don't want to stop drinking, and I don't want to lose, if I have to stop drinking to lose weight, then I don't want to do it. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
It was stupid, and that's a total alcoholic mindset. And eventually, I had a incident that happened in December of 2018 where I got blacked out drunk, and my wife thought I was dead in the bathroom.
Wow.
And yeah, it was, you know, it was really terrible. Throw up everywhere, and you know, me on the floor of the bathtub with the shower on. Just like the scene from A Star Is Born. Just kind of like that, man. It was just nuts. And that day, the next day, man, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to do my best to make a change.
Yeah.
And, you know, December 31st at 11:59, I took my last drink of alcohol. And I haven't had one since.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, and then I started my weight loss journey. Started my Instagram. Which I started on Instagram a couple months prior, but I didn't take it too serious. Like, I kept posting, how am I doing? But I wasn't posting videos of me exercising yet. Mm-hmm. And from, you know, January 1st, 2019, I just took off and just did what I can do. And I focused a lot on sobriety because that was my main issue.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, you have your real life situation, you know, you have, you know, work and, you know, family and stuff. And, and eventually it all came together. You know, I'm down 60 pounds from then, and I'm going to lose some more. And, you know, I'm focused. I don't even think about alcohol no more. And it's quite amazing, man.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations on that, because I applaud you for, especially with, you know, your sobriety and your weight loss all starting around the new year. And you didn't like tackle everything at once. You tackle like sobriety first and make that your main focus, and then you kind of build habits on top of all that stuff. And I think that's, yeah. I think that's the way to go.
I think if you, you know, tackle everything at once, you know, you're kind of destined to, you know, I don't want to say you're destined to fail, but a lot of people do fail when they try to take on too much at once.
Yeah.
You know, I knew what I had to get over first, and that was the alcohol. And eventually, you know, conquered that, and then I really started taking weight loss serious probably around April of 2019. Mm-hmm. Started going on more walks, and obviously I started posting videos of me going to the gym and pictures, and it's been, you know, I've met so many, you know, individuals, and it's been a journey, man. And you know, it's still continuing. I still have a lot of weight to lose, and I'm still growing, man. Still rolling with the punches, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome that you, like I said, that you first tackle your sobriety first and made sure that was something that was on point, like that you had that like on lock, and then you kind of added everything else into it, and then you just kind of flew off from there. So like, it's just, it's amazing to me that you have this, this kind of plan of action, and you just, you know, execute it.
Yep. I had to, man. You know,
what is your, what, I had, what does your wife think about all that? Just like, I was just kind of interested in what her thought was about the drinking, and then eventually when you decided you were going to stop drinking and lose weight, like what was her thoughts about all that?
Well, my wife, she's seen me, you know, obviously, you know, we've been together for 13 years mm-hmm. and I, you know, over the years I could see her worried and concerns, and, but she never said anything. She never said, "Hey babe, you're getting fatter," you know?
Yeah.
She used to tell me, "Oh, it's okay. It happens. You know, you'll lose the weight." You know, she was always supportive, but I never did anything to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew the drinking was coming, you know, out of control. You know, she knew. I mean, I meant she knew it was out of control because there was times I would have outbursts, you know?
Yeah.
And I never, you know, put hands or anything on her or anything like that, but I did have, you know, times where I flipped out at places or, you know, on people that I love, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just was, you know, I could tell that she was over it. Yeah. And then after that incident, it was definitely, you know, she didn't threaten to leave me. She still supported me. She was really upset. But that was, I knew that was, you know, the frosting on the cake. You know, I need to change or I'm going to lose this girl.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to, you know, honestly, I don't think she would have even left me. I think I would have hurt myself, you know. You know, she doesn't have that mentality of I'm gonna leave you, you know.
She seemed like she was like fighting for you, like she wanted you to be better, and she was she was waiting for you to make the decision to do it.
And she's one of those, yeah. She's she likes to take everybody's bad energy and kind of take it for herself. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think she was just, you know, she was on that dark path with me, you know, just watching though.
Yeah. And how is she now with you know, the sobriety and the weight loss now? Is she like super supportive about your efforts?
Yeah, she's, you know, she's really supportive. You know, there's times where sometimes people on Instagram say things or whatever. They comment a little too much, mm-hmm. but women, you know, sometimes, but rather than that, you know, it's, she's on it, man. She cooks all my meals. She's my number one supporter.
That's awesome that you have that at home. Like you have that support system at home, and then you also have it on Instagram. So do you post yourself on Instagram, like your, like just for accountability, like your weight and like your workouts and stuff like that? Cause I know there are certain people like, do you know Ethan? Depressed to determine.
Yeah,
he posts like that. He posts his check-ins to the gym and stuff like that. So like, I saw that you do that too. Like you usually like make sure like if you're at the gym and like you post that you're at the gym, or you're posting like your workout from the gym that day and stuff like that. So do you try to make sure you do that kind of, you know, periodically, just to make sure like that you're accountable to yourself, and then to Instagram too.
You know, I know a lot of people do it for, I don't know, for attention. Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, some people are really post every little thing they do at the gym. Yeah. I do. I post, you know, just to check in. Hey, get, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I have a lot of, actually, you know, me, I follow a lot of bigger people. You know, I don't follow a lot of flat belly muscle building people.
Yeah.
I follow people who are still in their journey,
yeah.
or, you know, in the beginning of their journey. And, you know, I try to lead by example. Hey, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm going to the gym though, you know?
Yeah. And that's good for you though. That's good. That's a good mentality for you to have people who are on that journey with you, and you can kind of hold them accountable and they can hold you accountable. So that's great.
Yeah, man. You know, I believe in, you know, trying to pay it forward, you know, trying to, hey, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. Let's do it together. You know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's times where I go, you know, people go, "Hey, where you been all week?" And it's like, I'm still hitting the gym, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel like I need to post every single day, but, you know, for the most part, I try to.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with, like not posting every day. I know when I started my weight loss journey, Instagram wasn't, Instagram was around, but I didn't really post stuff on Instagram. I posted most of my stuff on Facebook. And a lot of times that I would post, I'm at the gym or I'm eating this. Like, I would post all that stuff. Or I would post my weight. Like, wait, this was like 2011. So, like, I was posting everything. And anytime I would go, like, a day or two without doing, like, any kind of posting, somebody would be like, hey, what's going on? You're not posting.
Yeah.
And it's great to have that Instagram community now that you, like, if you do that, like, people will hold you to it. If you're like that kind of person who always posts their meals and stuff like that, people are going to hold you to that standard of, hey, you're not posting anything. What's going on? What are you eating?
Yeah. One thing about me is I'm really strict on myself on who I follow.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I go on kind of like a deleting spree every month just because, not because I don't like these people, just because, you know, if there's something you're not doing that's interesting to me, you know, it sounds really selfish of me, but I'm also in a mindset type of, you know, journey too, where it's like, you know, if your negativity is going to rub off on me, then I can't have you on here, yeah. You know?
No, I totally, and, I did that too. I started muting people like a couple of weeks ago. And if you're just, like, if you're bashing stuff and like negative Nancy, I was like, no, I can't have that. And I'm going to have to mute you.
I seen people, you know, who just constantly complain about things. It's like, man, you weren't happy because you were big and you got, you know, let's say you got the surgery done and you lost, you know, 150 pounds and you're not happy because you lost 150 pounds because you got loose skin. So you get the skin removal and then you got a bunch of scars on you and you're still not happy. It's like, man, are you going to be happy, bro? You know?
Yeah. You have to be appreciative of like what you have. So like if you weighed 400 pounds at one point and now you weigh 200, like, you can't be like, oh, well, now I have loose skin. Like, come on, man. Like, you got to take the good with the bad. So, like, it's like you did the work of losing that 200 pounds. So, like, take that win. You don't have to be like nitpicking every piece of your body because it's not perfect or it's not the way that you thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Well, one thing too is, you know, I'm doing all this natural, you know, I think I had no surgery or anything. So I know it's going to take time. And, you know, I just got to be patient. You know, there's times where I have my days when I'm upset, but I'm not going to blast on Instagram every time. You know, that I try not to post too much negativity. You know, I'm really straightforward and honest, but I don't sit there and go, oh, my day is blah, 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 and I hate this and blah, blah. You know, I just kind of leave it as that, you know. There's too much of that, you know, especially in the world we live in today. All you see is negativity.
Yeah.
You know, why keep spreading it?
I mean, what does that negativity serve? Like, does it make your day better, or are you just kind of spreading that negativity to everybody else? Instead of looking at the negative, look at the positive, and then just taking that positive and be like, well, I'm grateful that I have this, or that, you know, I woke up today, because I could have been like dead today.
Exactly, you know, I always try to reflect when I was younger. It's like, man, I grew up with very little.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and I kind of had to restart that mentality with like, okay, pump the brakes. You don't have it all, you know, enjoy the little things. And that's exactly what I do.
Because let's be real. Somebody probably has it worse than you. Somebody probably doesn't have a leg. They're missing a limb. They're missing, you know what I'm saying? Like somebody has it worse than you. And
exactly.
You could have it way worse.
It's exactly what I tell people. Like I tell my wife that sometimes. Like, when you complain about this, well, guess what? This person doesn't have, you know, like I said, an arm or something.
Yeah.
But guess what? They still go out and they do what they need to do and not complain. You know, they're grateful because they have to go to work or something. You know.
And those people work harder too because they're like, I got to work 20 times harder than you, and they still and they still outwork you.
Yeah, they do.
So that's where my mentality is with anything. Is I try not to complain, especially in public. Like, if I'm gonna complain, like, I kind of keep it internal and don't sit in the negativity and let it go. And I just don't put that out there. you know, we all have our bad days, and you might say, oh, today wasn't that great, but it could be worse.
Exactly. You know, that, you know, one thing too about my workout, you know, you asked me about my workouts, you know, some of my workout videos, I do some pretty tense stuff. That's, for me, it's tense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't, you know, a lot of big guys who can't move and do things like I can do. And I try to should lead by example with that as well. You know, it's like, well, look at, man, I know we're limited and we're, you know, really big guys, but you know, if I can do it, you can do it, you know?
Yeah.
Or at least try to do it. Push yourself.
At least, at least you're showing up. You're putting in the work.
Exceed your expectations is what I like to say.
Yeah. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
So where do you see yourself within the next year? Like where do you want to go from here?
It's funny because I always do like these little goals, and like one of my little goals was to make it to Disneyland, which I actually did it this year, which was awesome.
I saw that.
Yeah, you know, that was actually a goal for 2019 was to make it to Disneyland, but I ended up doing it in the beginning of this year. And, you know, that's, you know, one of the greatest, you know, awesome things. You know, that was really a big non-scale victory for me. But a year from now, honestly, obviously, you know, just continue. That's it. You know, I don't really have, you know, I don't have a weight set, I guess 250, if you want to be 200, 250, you know, in the 200s. But, you know, I don't really have, I'm just going to continue, man. I have one speed and that's go.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I'm a day by day person, so I don't sit there and think too much into the future. You know, I embrace it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things that you want, but I try not to think too much about it. You know, I just sit there and, you know what, I'm going to, I don't know, I have like a little thing and I was like, you know, I'm going to try to do that by that time.
Yeah.
Like the whole Disneyland thing. You know, I said I was going to go to Disneyland 2 years ago and, you know, I just never made it. And then last year I told somebody, hey, I'm going to be at Disneyland by December of 2019 and never made it. And, you know, I had that in the back of my mind was I'm not going to be able to, you know, get on the rides. I'm not going to be able to, you know, walk around because I'm gas out. But mm-hmm. hasn't been an issue at all since I've started going to Disneyland. And I live in Southern California, so going to Disneyland is something my wife and I are going to try to do more because there's a lot of exercise in Disneyland.
I saw your step count, you know, like that day you went, and you.
Yeah, and I was like, insane. I was only there 5 hours.
Yeah, it was insane. Like, your step count was insane. I was like, how, like, he's killing it. And because you were really happy about it because you said that this was something on your goals. I can't remember if you said it last year or this year, but you said you attacked it this year and you hit it.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you can't get discouraged if you don't have, you know, if you don't reach your goal right away. As long as you eventually hit it.
Yeah.
Oh, it matters, you know, that's what I say, you know.
At least you're trying to do it.
Exactly. You know, there's people I hear all the time, oh, you know, no excuses, no excuses. But it's like, okay, no excuses. Where are your gym posts? Where are you? I hit you up. How's the gym going? You're like, I haven't gone in a month. It's no. Like, well, what happened to the no excuses, you know?
No, you have to go for it.
You have to.
Because at the end of the day, like, if you don't go for, like, whatever you have, like, set for a goal and you don't, and you just, like, kind of put it to the wayside, then you're going to regret not doing it.
Exactly. You know, that's why you got to live fast and don't die punk. You just live fast. You know, you got to live. Don't even live fast, you know, and just enjoy life. You know, that's my main motto here is enjoy life, embrace the future, and just, you know, don't have regrets.
Yeah.
You know, just enjoy. You know, I could sit here and tell you a life story of people who've passed in my life and all these crazy, horrible things that's happened in my life. And no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to just tell you my little bit. And then I'm going to be like, you know, enjoy the rest of it. Because you know what? You only do live once.
That's true.
And that's a real statement. As cheesy as it sounds, that's a true statement. And you have to enjoy it. You have to.
I mean, like, we're recording this in late January, and like earlier this week, like, Kobe Bryant died. And, you know, he didn't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't know he was, this was going to be his last days.
Exactly, man. That's a terrible.
And people should realize that, like, tomorrow's not promised. So, like you said, live fast. Because you never know when your time's up.
Yeah. And look, you know, his daughter barely was a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, and the rest of the people that were on that plane, you never know. Yeah. You know, I've lost so many friends and family. It's crazy. Some people are like, dude, how can you keep it all together? But it's like, you know what? I got to keep my mindset of, you know what? Live my best life and live life until God calls me up. Yeah. You know,
that's true.
You know, but yeah, Kobe Bryant, man, rest in peace. It's a shame.
Yeah, it's that. And then like when it happened, I was like, that makes me realize that life is short and anything that I want to go after, I need to go after it.
Yeah. Because, you know, I've been talking to people about, you know, who talk about suicide a lot, and it's like, you know what? You're going to commit suicide, and what are you going to do? You're going to hurt everybody else around you. Mm-hmm. And you think that's a success? Nah, man, you got to change your life. Do what's going to make you happy.
Yeah. Don't do it for anybody else but yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I tell everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, we just got real deep on this podcast.
Yeah, man, you know what? And sometimes, you know, sometimes you cross an individual, you don't know what to expect, man.
Yeah. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on and talking to me. And I want to thank Caitlin for, you know, hooking us up together and, like, getting a conversation started. Because she was like, you need to talk to Danny. And she's like, you need to DM right now. And so that's what I did. So it's been nice to, like, get to know you over DMs and stuff like that. It's been nice to talk to you on Skype and stuff like that too, and just have the conversation today.
Pleasure. Trust me, it's been a pleasure. I love meeting new people, man. And you know what? You're doing great as yourself, man. It's, you know, you've come a long way, dude. And I think you're doing this whole podcast thing. It's freaking amazing, man.
And you have a podcast. Let's talk about that real quick. So what's your podcast?
Well, I'm in the beginning stages of it. But it's called Danny Punk's Podcast.
It's called what?
You know, Danny Punk's Podcast.
Okay.
And a lot of people go, what's up with the Danny Punk's? Is it because you like punk rock? And it's like a yeah and no. You know, people, you know, I've had to explain this to people. And people go, well, you also spell punks with an X instead of a KS. And, you know, I tell them, well, my name is Danny. And my nickname to my wife is Punk. Mm-hmm. He always calls me Punk. She doesn't call me Babe. It's not like, hey, Babe. Hi, Babe. Hi, honey. No, hey, Punk. I love you, Punk. Hi, Punk. Always. So I kind of add that into there.
Yeah.
And then I add the X because of my sobriety.
That's awesome.
You know, so Danny Punk's life. And it sounds cheesy, but, you know, it means a lot to me. And, you know, a lot of people who've gone through sobriety or, you know, who understand my story, they like it, man. They enjoy it. So, but my podcast is, you know, dark, gritty. You know, I'm trying not. My next episode is going to be more lightened. You know, I'm going to talk about, you know, more something funnier. You know, because I'm not this emo dark guy. You know, I just like to be real.
Yeah.
And I think these last three episodes I had were pretty real. And I'm just going to put something funny in there next week. But, you know, I don't know what the topic's going to be yet, but I know it's going to be funny.
And where can people find that?
Right now, YouTube. That's all I got it on right now is YouTube. Just Danny Punk's Podcast, and right there in the search engine. Or you guys can just look in my check out the link in my bio on my Instagram, and there you go.
What's your Instagram handle?
My Instagram handle
mm-hmm.
is Danny Punk's Live.
There you go. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on and talking to me, and it's like I said, it's been fun to, you know, build this friendship with you, and it's been nice, and I look forward to seeing what you do in the future. And if you ever want to come back on the podcast, just let me know, and we'll, you know, get another conversation going.
Hell yeah, man. Maybe we'll talk about, you know, more sports, get you into sports, man. You know, you know, there's a lot of sports, baseball, hockey, you know, basketball.
Yeah.
You know, But man, it's been a pleasure, man, and I do appreciate you inviting me on here. And you know, I want to thank Kayla too as well. You know, she's amazing, and everybody else, you know, who's been on this podcast is truly amazing. You know, I try to follow a little bit of everybody, and you know, even one thing I want to tell everybody is, you know, enjoy life, and you know, don't live with regrets.
I want to thank Danny for coming on and sharing his story. And like I said, the dude is, I like the way his head is. I like where his head is. He's about positivity and being grateful and living the life that he wants. And, you know, not saying no to that. Like I appreciate him for that. And, like I said, he's one of the people that I've recently just started following in the last, you know, 2-3 months. Well, when you're hearing this, it's been 4 months, but, I look up to the dude, and I appreciate his resilience and him just being really positive about life. And I can't wait to see where he's going to go with his weight loss and even his sobriety. Yeah, he's killing it. So if you want to follow Danny on Instagram, you can follow him on Instagram at Danny_Punks_Life. If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow me on Instagram at Willie Gillis. If you have any questions, comments, or concern, you can email me at whatiliveforpodcast@gmail.com. Also, make sure you check out Danny's podcast. It's Danny Punk's podcast. It's on YouTube. I'll have a link in the show notes. But definitely check out the podcast out. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I really enjoyed talking to Danny, and I can't wait to like have more conversations with him in the future. We're definitely going to do some more collabs together in the future. So I hope you guys enjoyed this, and I will see you guys next week.